Genesis chapter number 21, I want to begin reading in verse number 14. And the Bible says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt." Our Heavenly Father, as we bow this morning, we say thank you, dear God, again for the opportunity, privilege that it is, Lord, for us to be able to be into your house this morning. We thank you, Father, for everyone in this building. We thank you, God, for Victory Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for our visitors this morning. Thank you, God, for those who are listening by way of radio. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us this morning, that our hearts and our minds would be fixed upon thee and thy word for a few moments. And God, may you speak to us. Lord, may we forget about all that we want to do and need to do this afternoon. But God, may for a few minutes this morning, we just think now about, God, what you want to do in our lives. And help us, dear Father, to be obedient as you speak to us, Lord, today. If there should be one here this morning, Lord, that does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, Father, today would be the day the Spirit of God, a Holy Ghost conviction would be their lot. And Father, today would be the day they would come forth and they would believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Father, bless your people. God, stir our hearts. Revive us, Lord. Encourage, God, your people. And Lord, that we could see that you're God and there is none else beside thee. Please, now we pray and I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach this morning from the verses that we have read, and I want to preach on this thought, a well in the wilderness. A well in the wilderness. In verse number 19, the Bible said, "And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water." By way of introduction this morning, I want to tell you about a novel that I read, a writer that had told about this, and a novel called Rabbit Run by John Updike. And he said there was a scene there when the husband left the house and he was arguing with his wife. And after the husband left, the wife began to drink. And she's now drunk and attempts to give the baby a bath in the bathtub. In her drunken condition, the mother lets the baby drown in the bathtub. Later, the husband returns and hears the horrible thing that has happened. He goes to the bathtub, still filled with water. He simply pulls the chain attached to the stopper, and the water drains completely in only a few seconds. And he agonizes, and this is what he said, "How easy it was, yet in all his strength, God did nothing. Just this little stopper to lift." May I say this morning that God does not always pull the stoppers of our life. God does not always stop bad things from happening. Yes, I believe God is God, and in all of his strength, he could intervene and he could prevent every tragedy. He could prevent every heartache that happens in people's lives, but he doesn't always do so, amen? The stoppers don't always get pulled. Now, you know, there are times when he allows bad things to happen in our life. There are times when he actually arranges and appoints bad things to come our way. Amen. And the story that we read this morning of Hagar is a story in which we see how that God was in control of everything that was happening in the life of Hagar. Now, Hagar and her son are driven from their home into the wilderness. It was at Sarah's command that she was forced to leave. But we also see that what Sarah commanded, God condoned. Sarah's wish also became God's will. Notice in Genesis 21 in verse number 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And in verse number 12, and God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall all thy seed be called. Sarah wished it, and God willed it. Sarah ordered it, and God ordained it. You see, there are times when God allows bad things to happen. There are times that God allows us to be driven into the wilderness experiences of life. But this is what I want us to zero in this morning. I want you to notice that even through all that God allowed in the events to happen, as they did in Hagar's life, God did not forget her and God did not abandon her. Amen. Now, all of us, I think, as Sister Beulah made mention, almost every family has been touched this in recent days with problems and trials and troubles and heartaches and sorrows. And none of us are immune to that. As I preached the other Sunday, we don't know what this new year is going to hold, whether it's going to be a time of sadness or a time of gladness. And it may be that it's both of those things in our lives this year. But there's one thing I want us to remember, that regardless of the situation and regardless of where you are and regardless of what God allows in your life, just like Hagar, God did not abandon her and God did not forget about her. Amen. And he's not going to do that for you or for me. Now notice a couple of things this morning. First of all, notice the wilderness in which her resources were depleted. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 14, the Bible tells us that Abraham rose up early in the morning. He took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and he sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Abraham provided for her some bread and a bottle of water, and then he said, you've got to go. And he ushered her away. One can only begin to imagine what was going through her mind and the hurt that was in her heart as she walked away with her son by her side. Amen. Now, she had nowhere to go. She had no one to turn to. She ended up in the wilderness. She had gone through a hard time. And to add to all that, she found herself in a hard place. Now, first of all, notice we see her straying in the wilderness. And verse 14 says that she wandered in the wilderness. The word wandered means to stray or to be out of the way. She found herself just wandering around, lost, confused, helpless in a dry, hot, barren land. It could be that some are here this morning that are in such a place. Life has taken a serious reversal. And you, like Hagar, you find yourself confused and lost in the wilderness experiences of life. In a Peanuts comic strip, all of you know about Peanuts. Charlie Brown, poor fella. I know all of us at times probably feel like Charlie Brown, don't we? There was a conversation between Lucy and Charlie Brown. I never did like Lucy, you know. She was always bossy and always making fun. And I never did like her. I was always pulling for old Charlie Brown all the time, because sometimes I felt like him, especially when we was growing up. But in the conversation that they were having, Lucy was describing life being like a chair, a deck chair. And some places so they can see where they are going, some places so they can see where they've been, and some places where they can see where they're at. But Charlie Brown said, I can't even get mine open. Amen. I mean, isn't that the way you feel sometimes, that life has just folded up, everything's just folded up on you, and you just can't get it going, you just can't get it open and get it started, and then you're frustrated and you're hurt and you're confused and you don't know what to do. You're in a wilderness experience in your life. I read this morning, it's heartrending. But a few years ago, the press carried a story of a young father who shot himself in a tavern phone booth. James Lee had called a Chicago newspaper and told a reporter that he had sent the newspaper a manila folder outlining his story. And the reporter frantically tried to trace the call, but of course it was too late. By the time the police arrived, the young man was slumped in the booth with a bullet through his head. In his pockets they found a child's crayon drawing, much folded and worn, and on it was written, "Please leave in my coat pocket. I want to have it buried with me." The drawing was signed in childish print by his daughter, Shirley Lee, who had perished in a fire just 5 months previous to this event. His wife had been dead since the child was 2, and when his daughter died, Lee was so grief-stricken, he asked total strangers to attend his daughter's funeral so she would have a nice service. He said that there was no family, no one to attend. Speaking to the reporter before his death, the heartbroken father said that all he had in life was gone and he felt so alone. He gave his modest estate to the church that Shirley had attended and said, maybe in 10 or 20 years from now, someone will see on the plaque and wonder who Shirley Ellen Lee was and say, well, someone must have loved her very, very much. And the grieving father could not stand the loneliness nor the loss, so he took his own life. He felt it better to be dead. Would you not say this morning that James Lee found himself wandering around in a wilderness? Hagar found herself wandering around in the wilderness, amen, and nowhere to go, no one to go to, and nowhere to run to. And it may be this morning that someone feels the same way. You don't know where to go. You feel like you don't have nowhere to go, and you don't know what to do. And so we can see Hagar in the wilderness, but we also see her suffering in the wilderness. Genesis chapter 21, verse number 15, the Bible said the water was spent in the bottle and she cast the child under the shrubs. It wasn't many days until finally what she had been given by Abraham had been depleted by the harshness of the wilderness. All of her resources were gone. The food was gone. The bottle of water that Abraham had given her was now empty. Under the hot sun and the humid heat of the wilderness, she stumbled and she staggered and she slumped. But verse 15 says that she took her child and she cast her son under one of the shrubs. The heat of the desert sun had taken its toll on her son. With a lack of food and water, she collapsed and he had collapsed. But she took the son and she lovingly placed him under the shrubs to try to shield him from the harsh sun as he was there suffering in the wilderness. And then the Bible tells us that she went away for a little ways. The Bible said even like a bow shot. And she didn't want to hear her son crying. She didn't want to hear her son die. She knew it was all over. There was nothing left. She had nothing. She had nowhere to go. They were in the wilderness. They didn't have no way of finding help whatsoever. And so she had placed her son under a brush to die. And she wandered off away so she couldn't hear it. And she sat down. And the Bible said when she sat down, she began to weep before the Lord. Amen. Oh, listen, can you say this morning how sad and how her heart was broken, and she didn't know where to go and nowhere to turn. And it may be this morning that some folks are not only in the wilderness, but your bottle might be empty. You might be saying, I don't know what to do. I've depleted everything I know to do. I've been everywhere I know to go. But oh, listen to me this morning. Your bottle might be empty. And you're saying, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to give up. Oh, there's been times that we've heard over and over again and said, preacher, I can't go on like this. I just can't handle it anymore. My bottle's empty. I don't have nowhere to go. I have nowhere to turn. It seems like all hope is gone. Can you imagine how Hagar must have felt there in the wilderness? I know that most of you have heard the name Vincent Van Gogh. He's no stranger to the art world. And from 1880 to 1890, the painter created more than 1,600 paintings and drawings. Vincent Van Gogh, in spite of his success as an artist, was a man tormented by severe depressions and hallucinations. At one time, after an argument with a fellow artist, he cut off his right ear. In May of 1890, he moved just outside of Paris. He continued to suffer depression. In late July, he decided he couldn't stand it no longer. On July the 27th, he took a revolver with him to a field, and the 37-year-old artist shot himself in the chest. He died at 1 a.m. on July the 29th, and his last words were, "There is no end of sorrow." Van Gogh felt there was no end to his sorrow and apparently felt that he could go on no longer. The bottle was empty, amen. Hey, and your bottle might be empty. Your wilderness experience might be getting the best of you, and it's depleting every resource that you have, and you don't know what to do. But can I say, thank God when it gets bad. I'm glad this morning, just like Hagar, everything was bad. She thought her son was going to die. She thought she was going to die, but I'm led up in heaven. There's a God seated on the throne, amen, and he saw everything that was going on. He was the one that caused all of this to happen, and may I say this morning that everything in your life, God knows all about it. He's in control of it, and what God is doing, if you'll just hold on, God's going to come through for you. Hallelujah. He'll come through the well. But notice this, not only the wilderness, but notice the well. The wilderness depleted her resources. But notice the well, which her resources were repleted. Amen. I like this. Praise God. Chapter 21, verse 16 says, and she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. After placing her son under that bush to try to protect him as much as possible, she goes away so that she can't hear him any longer, moaning and groaning. And she thought, surely this was the end. But even though the situation looked hopeless, listen to me this morning, there may be times that our situation looks hopeless. You think there's just no way, we can't make it any further. Listen to me. Don't give up, thank God. Don't abandon ship. The captain's still on board. Hallelujah. But listen, even though it looked hopeless, it wasn't. Notice, there is a God in heaven that hears us. Verse 17 of chapter 21. And God heard. I like that. God heard the voice of the lad. When she took that little fella, Ishmael, and she put him under that bush and she walked away where she couldn't hear him no more, God on his throne heard him. Amen. Woo, you say nobody's listening. Hey, we may not hear you, but God can and will hear you. Amen. When you cry. And there, thank God, she wept, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. God heard the voice of the lad. God heard her cry. And their cries did not fall on deaf ears. And in her moment of darkest trial and deepest grief, God heard her. Amen. I'm reminded of the night the disciples were out on that stormy sea. And it seemed that they were about to sink. The Bible says that, and beginning to sink, you know, the ship was sinking, taking on water. I mean, they were going to die. Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship, you know. And it's amazing, the storm didn't wake Jesus. The roughness of the waters didn't wake him up. The thunder, as it roared, didn't wake him up. But the moment they said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? He woke up then, amen. Oh, listen, you see what I want to say to you this morning is all the events that are going on, it doesn't worry God one bit. You say, why? Because he can do the impossible, amen. When it looks like there's no hope, when it looks like it's almost over, God can hear and God can move, amen. And so listen, the Bible said in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Praise be to God. You may be in dire straits and you try to reach me at home and you get that blasted answering machine. You may call my cell phone and you hear me on the other end saying, I'm not available, leave a message. I'm glad, thank God, there's a God in heaven that you'll never get a busy signal. You'll never get an answering machine. But praise be to God, his ears are open to the cries of the righteous. Amen. He hears, amen. His heart, his ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 18:6 says, In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even unto his ears. Amen. I want to say this morning, I'm glad that when we cry to the Lord, it just not only comes before him, but it gets to his ears, amen, and he hears and he knows and he understands, and God is able to work if we'll allow him. In verse number 16, we see Hagar doing the only thing she could do, cry. Sometimes it gets like that, don't it? Sometimes our life gets to the point that the only thing left that we can do is cry. I don't care if that songwriter did say, big girls don't cry. Cry, amen, amen. I don't care if they did try to make us boys tough and say, don't be a crybaby. Bless God, let me get in trouble. I'm gonna start crying. Oh God, amen. Crying to the Lord, amen. Because his ears are open unto the cries of his people. And I'm glad this morning he can hear, amen. In the wilderness experiences of life, when we find our bottle empty, listen, lift your heart and your voice unto the Lord, for he hears the cries of his people. In Psalm 107 verse 4 through 6, the Bible said they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses. Praise be to God. Listen, then let me say, there's a God in heaven that helps us. Genesis 21:19, the Bible said, now she's crying, the baby's crying. She thinks it's all over. He's going to die, she's going to die. And God heard them crying. And the Bible said that the angel of the Lord called to Hagar and said, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad. Hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Look what happens in verse number 19. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. Amen. Her bottle was empty, but God provided her a well. Amen. A well. Now notice, this word well in particular means and refers to a pit or a well that has been dug. God dug her a well. Amen. He didn't give her another bottle of water. Amen. I mean, listen, her bottle of water had run out. And when she run out of that bottle of water, that was it. There was no more water to put in the bottle. And she's cried now, God, the angel of the Lord says, arise, take your son up, hold him in your hand. Pick that boy up out from under that brush. She picked him up, and when she looked, her eyes were open, she saw a well. What'd she do? She went over to the well. And she took that bottle, and she went down in that water and got her a full bottle of water and gave the lad drink. I believe as she got him some, she said, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And so, but listen, God didn't just give her a bottle of water. If he had just given her a bottle of water, guess what would have happened? She would have run out again. But God gave her a well. Listen, why be satisfied with a bottle that's going to last for just a little while when you can have the well? Amen. Give me the well. Amen. I ain't never understood yet why we buying water. That's God, it's supposed to run out the ground for free. We're supposed to drink it. Say amen right there. But here we are buying water. But listen, we need just a, God's going to give us a well. Matter of fact, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. And when we find ourselves in the wilderness, our bottle gets empty. God can give you a well. Amen. Even in the wilderness. Now notice this. Notice this. Now he did not deliver her from the wilderness. He didn't take her from the wilderness. In fact, in Genesis chapter 21, verses 20 and 21, the Bible said, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Now it seems to me as I read this, they lived the rest of their life in the wilderness. God has never promised us that we're going to live in a palace and everything's going to be a bed of ease from here to heaven. But he has promised his children, I will never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee, I will go with thee all the way to the end of the world. No matter if we're having to live in the wilderness, I'm glad I'd rather live in the wilderness with God than to live outside of the wilderness without God. Amen. And so they did not, God did not deliver them. And so it seems like they lived the rest of their life there. But guess what? God dug them a well. There was a well there. And so they had an endless supply of water from the well that God had given to her. I think a story I read about a poor woman from the slums of London that was invited by some of her friends to go to, with them to the ocean. And she had never been out of London, and she had never seen the ocean. And she was a poor woman living in the slums. And when she saw the ocean for the first time, she broke out in tears. And there she was crying. And they said, why are you crying? She said, pointing to the ocean. She said, this is the only thing I've ever seen that there was enough of. Amen. Oh, can I say this morning, I'm pointing you to one, hallelujah, that's always enough of, amen, and can take care of your every need. God will give you a well that is enough. He will help you. He'll provide what you need, and it'll be enough. Thank God it'll be enough, amen. The songwriter said it like this: when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. Amen. Sometimes we don't know how good the Father is until he has to start giving when you run out of your own stuff. Oh my, isn't that amazing how good God is? Psalm 84, 6, the Bible said, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Whether you're in the valley or whether you're in the wilderness, God will provide a well. Cry to the Lord. Cry to the Lord. When you're in the wilderness experience of your life, cry to the Lord, and He will open your eyes and you can find a well. God will take care of us. Hagar. Of course, most of you know the story about Hagar. I ain't got time to go into it. But this morning, Hagar had Ishmael. And even though when Abraham and Sarah, when God had promised to Abraham that from him would come a great nation, and from that nation all the world would be blessed because of that nation. And of course he had promised him a son with Sarah. And of course Abraham and Sarah, you know what happened to them? Same thing happens to us. They got old. They were getting older. Day by day, they got older. Every year went by, she still didn't have a child. Another year went by, she didn't have a child. Finally, she got on up past childbearing age. And she's told Abraham, said, we're not going to have a child. We're just not going to be able to do it. It's just not going to happen for us. Well, God said it would. They just didn't believe God. They just didn't wait on God. That's what our problem is. We don't wait on God. And we jump the gun. Next thing you know, we've got a mess on our hands. Amen. And so Sarah said, why don't you just go into our handmaid, Hagar, and let her provide us a son? Well, dummy, done it. And we got more problems in our world today because of that one act of disobedience that Abraham performed before God, and we're still paying for it today. Israel's still paying for it. You say, why? He's the father of the Arab nations. Ishmael is the descendant of Abraham, and Ishmael went to the wilderness, and as we just read, he dwelt in the wilderness, he dwelt in the desert, and that's where all the Arab people came from. But God didn't promise to bless the world through Ishmael. He blessed to promise the world through the seed of Abraham and Sarah, not Abraham and Hagar. But as we read, God said, I'm going to make of him. He told Hagar, he said, don't fear not, for God's going to take care of you. God's going to, because he said, he will be a great nation. And of course, look at the Arab nations now. See, God's promise carried on that side, but it wasn't the true promise. But then when God did bless, and Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90, she had a son called Isaac. And after she had Isaac, she saw one day Ishmael mocking. And she said, you got to get rid of them. And so that's what happened. And that's the reason they ended up in the wilderness. But listen to me this morning. I don't know the circumstances. And you know, as we continue to move toward the coming of the Lord, things are getting more complicated and more complicated. I'm talking about in people's lives. I'm talking about in families. I'm talking about just in general. And it gets to the point you don't, but I'm going to tell you one thing, regardless of the situation, if you're saved, God's going to look out after you. You might have messed up, but bless God, if you got saved, God's going to look after you. Amen? Hey, I'm glad of that this morning. I don't care how bad you've been, if you're saved, God's going to look out after you. I don't care what kind of mess you've made, God's going to look out after you if you're saved. Amen? And this morning, God can provide a well in the wilderness if we'll just cry unto him. I don't know where you are this morning. You know where you are. You know what you're going through. You know what's going on in your life. And maybe today, thank God, it would be a blessing if nobody was experiencing any wilderness experiences of hardships and coming down to where it looks like all hope is gone. What a blessing that would be. But just in case somewhere down the road you get in this situation, I hope the Holy Ghost will remind you of the scriptures and say, just like God did for them, God is no respecter of person, and he can do it for me. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Don't do like that man I told you about. When it looked like all hope was gone, he put a bullet in his brain. Hey, listen, if you'd have waited one more day, God could have gave hope. God could have built a hope in that man. God could have done something for him. Hey, listen. And I know every day there are more and more problems in our life. There are more and more problems in families. But let me say to you this morning, get to the Lord. Cry to him. Cry to him. And he is able to meet the need in your life. Just like Hagar, God said, don't worry, fear not. I've heard you cry. And she lifted up the lad, and when she did, she looked and said, Where'd that well come from? Where's that well been? I mean, she's been sitting around crying, bellyaching for a good while now. Thought everything, they were going to die. Where's that? God dug it for her. You know, sometimes God don't let us see exactly everything from beginning. But he'll get it to us if we'll just keep crying to him, and he'll take care of us. Father, I thank you this morning that we have a God in heaven who loves us, cares for us, and will take care of us. And God, I'm thankful this morning that in our wilderness experiences of life, when things get hard, when things get tough, when it looks like there is no hope, that there's no word to turn, no one to turn to, I'm glad there's always one, and that's God. Father, please speak to every heart in this building today. God, minister to every need. God, may every person be able to look to the Lord and know that God's going to take care of them. If you're here today lost, I know God is able to take care of you if you'll come to him. If you're saved here this morning and you're in trouble, God is able. God is able. You're not able. I'm not able. But God is able. While we're standing to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe this morning you finally said, I'm just going to turn it all over to God. I would encourage you just to step out and make your way to this altar. You don't have to tell nobody about your problems, but just tell God. Hagar didn't cry. Nobody heard her crying. She even got out of hearing of her own son, where she couldn't hear him cry. But God heard him, and God heard her. And may I say to you this morning, God can hear you if you'll bring it to the Lord. Maybe today you're lost. You know you're lost. You know if you died today, you'd go to hell. There, you make no bones about it. If you died today, you know you'd be hellbound. But God can help you. God can help you if you'll come to him and cry unto him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever the need is in your heart and life today, you just step out this morning. And mind God, you do that today.